Good morning. Welcome to Duos Technologies' second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Joining us for today's call are Duos Chairman and CEO Gianni Alcaini and CFO Adrian Goldfarb. Following their remarks, we will open up the call for your questions. Then, before we conclude today's call, I will provide the necessary cautions regarding the forward-looking statements made by management during this call. I would now like to turn the call over to Duos Chairman and CEO Gianni Alcaini. Please proceed, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Earlier this morning, we issued a press release announcing our financial results for the second quarter ended June 30th, 2018. A copy of the press release is available in the investor relations section of our website. Now, as we did on our last call, I'd like to take a few minutes to provide a brief overview of who we are, what we do, particularly for those of you who may be less familiar with our company. At Duos, we provide advanced intelligent security and analytical technology solutions. In simple terms, we create custom, flexible, and highly sophisticated technology solutions for our customers with a focus on improving the business process with a measurable return on their investment. To do that, we develop and use many different proprietary state-of-the-art and patented technologies. This broad range of advanced tools includes machine learning and other forms of artificial intelligence, as well as advanced video analytics, which we deliver through a combination of our back-end, middleware, and customer-facing software platforms branded as Presidium for the back-end and Centrico for the customer-facing interface. Our key focus is on mission-critical security, inspection, and operations, and our target markets are in the rail transportation, retail distribution, as well as in critical infrastructure security and law enforcement sectors. We estimate that the total addressable market opportunity in our core target markets exceeds approximately $100 billion. In addition to our strength in technology development, one major differentiator is that our technologies do not require a change in our customers' business practices or processes. A significant aspect of our core platforms is the adaptability to various verticals requiring very little adjustments to our core code. Our diversified market strategy is designed to significantly minimize market segment vulnerabilities. At this point, I'd like to provide a brief overview of our results for the second quarter, for which we are very proud of. Q2 was a very busy period for Duos and marked a major milestone in our long-term development plans. In addition to growing our top line by nearly 180%, both sequentially and year over year to a record $3.2 million, we made significant progress on all major project deployments. We also met our goal of opening a new engineering operations facility to fuel our future expansion plans. Furthermore, we successfully expanded our senior management team, which bolstered our bench strength and capabilities to support our next phase of growth. We also announced our newest product offering, the DC View software platform, which is designed to enable automation and mobile verification of large data center IT assets. At this time, I'm going to turn the call over to our CFO, Adrian Goldfarb, who will walk us through the financial results for the quarter. After Adrian's presentation, we'll further discuss our recent progress, as well as provide some other highlights for the quarter before finishing with a brief update on our outlook for the remainder of the year. Adrian?
Thank you, Gianni. Before getting into my discussion of the second quarter results, I would like to remind listeners of certain changes that have been implemented in our financial reporting. The Financial Accounting Standards Board, or FASB, gives guidance to issuers for reporting financial results through Accounting Standards Codification, ASC. As I talked about on our last call, our company adopted ASC 606, covering revenue recognition from contracts with customers in the first quarter of 2018. Specifically, where previously we reported revenues on a percentage completion basis, we have refined and adjusted our reporting to conform with the new standard using the input method, which recognizes revenue based on costs incurred until delivery to the customer. Although this has had minimal impact on our revenue in the first half of this year, I would like to stress that our financial reporting continues to give an accurate reflection of the overall performance of the business and that our results for the full year 2018 will not be materially impacted. Now turning to our financial results for the second quarter ended June 30, 2018. Total revenue increased 179% to a record $3.2 million from $1.2 million for the same period in the prior year. The significant increase in total revenue was driven by an increase in project revenue, which was offset by decreases in both maintenance and technical support, as well as IT asset management services revenue. The increase in project revenue was a result of our ongoing transition to new offerings, including intelligent analytics and machine learning from traditional legacy security-centric offerings. Gross profit increased 118% to $1.3 million, or 39% of total revenue, compared to $577,000, or 50% of total revenue, in Q2 of last year. The increase in gross profit was mainly the result of the increase in project revenue. On an apples-to-apples comparison to the equivalent quarter in 2017, gross profit in 2018 was impacted by the accounting changes related to ASC 606 that I just mentioned. Turning to our costs, operating expenses increased 39% to $1.9 million from $1.4 million in Q2 of last year. The increase in operating expenses was mainly due to a non-cash expense for incentive stock options granted in the quarter. Excluding this amount, our operating expenses increased less than 10% on a cash basis. Net loss totaled $634,000, or negative 3 cents per share, an improvement from the net loss of $1.3 million, or negative 70 cents per share, in the second quarter of 2017. The improvement in net loss was primarily attributable to the non-cash charges in 2017 of $832,690 in debt discount expense and $295,061 warrant derivative gain on debt related to the debt financing. While we do not report non-GAAP financial metrics in our financial filings, because the company is close to break-even on an operational basis, I think it is helpful to our shareholders to note that on an adjusted EBITDA basis, where the non-cash compensation expenses excluded along with interest costs, depreciation, and amortization, the net loss was for the second quarter of 2018 was just $203,000. And on a non-GAAP free cash flow basis, the company was essentially break-even for the quarter. Let's now discuss the balance sheet. Although we reported cash of approximately $1.8 million last quarter, our cash on hand at this time is approximately $420,000. Additionally, we have net receivables of approximately $752,000, for which we expect payment within the next 30 days. For context, I would like to point out that one of the effects of our recent major contract awards is that we have drawn down cash to fund initial equipment purchases, as well as additions to our staff in preparation for project execution. As projects are shipped, we expect significant billings to replenish our cash reserves. As I mentioned on our previous call, our capital raise late last year gives us sufficient runway to execute on our business plan in 2018, and we do not expect to need to raise funds in the foreseeable future. The raise also allowed us to repay almost all outstanding long and short-term debt, as well as other certain financing for business operations such as insurance. We remain comfortable with our financial position and anticipate continuing improvements in our balance sheet as the year progresses. Notably, we generated positive cash from operations for the quarter. And finally, shifting gears to our outlook for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2018, based on our financial performance to date, along with our current pipeline of business, we are raising our revenue guidance by 9%. We now expect total revenue to be a record $10.1 million, which would represent a 160% increase from $3.9 million reported in 2017. It's worth mentioning that our guidance is based on numerous contracts in backlog that are already performing and scheduled to be executed before the end of this year. We also expect to secure additional awards during the balance of the year as well, which is not currently included in our guidance. This completes my financial summary. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Gianni for additional insights into our recent operational progress, as well as our outlook for the second half of 2018.
Gianni. Well, thank you, Adrian. Obviously, needless to say, we are proud of our accomplishments to date. It's a team effort, and I'm really proud of the additional team members. As I mentioned on our last call, we believe that 2018 is a major transformational year for Duos, and if, as we said, the last quarter represented a prelude of sorts, then the second quarter was a very significant opening act. In addition to growing our top line nearly 180%, we also made meaningful strides toward our goal of achieving GAAP profitability, even despite certain non-cash incentive stock options recorded that we recognized in the quarter, as Adrian just mentioned. But more broadly, this period was about building on the momentum we have already generated in growing our business to coincide with this increased demand. And while it may seem like there's a lot of different moving parts, the way we have positioned this process internally has been with intention and is entirely in line with our long-term plan for scale. More specifically, we spent a great deal of time this quarter engaged in building our operational and business development staff in a number of key areas. We also have expanded our execution team with key additions in engineering, project management, and project support. Although we strongly believe in the superiority of our technologies, we still recognize that the most important component to any business is the quality of its people. And of course, with an increased headcount in operations, we recognize that we would need to expand our workspace as well. This quarter, we opened our new engineering and operations center of excellence, which will house our expanded engineering operations staff and serve as our product research, testing, and demonstrations center. Finally, we also announced the launch of our new DCView software platform this quarter, which we feel is a great complement to our existing business as well as an opportunity to help us penetrate new markets. And now for the remainder of today's call, I'm going to spend some time discussing this development in more detail, beginning first with the addition to our management and operations. As we look to continue expanding our business, we recognize the necessity to expand our team to meet the needs of a growing company. I'm particularly proud that we were able to attract significant talent to our leadership team. We will have completed placement of key positions by the end of this month. Last quarter, we added Noel Hikes as president and COO of our operating subsidiary. Unfortunately, she can't join us today as she is on her way to a meeting with FEMA, where we just delivering a large project. I'm both very pleased and impressed with the accomplishments to date. Additionally, this quarter we hired Mike Halter as our new Vice President of Engineering Operations, who will be instrumental in streamlining our engineering operations and process, helping us to scale our business to the next level. Mike is a highly skilled engineer who comes to Duos with years of field experience. We look forward to him providing improvements and refinements to our great engineering efforts, as well as introducing scale to our operations, multiplying our output. Beyond these conditions, we have also hired three new directors of business development, one to support our infrastructure, one for our rail sector, and one for IT asset management division. Together, this group of talented individuals will help to expand our sales and pipeline of opportunities. Now, with the size and quality of our orders continuing to grow, as well as an expanded team to support that growth, it became evident that both things would necessitate more space. To that end, we announced in June the successful completion and official opening of our Engineering Operations Center of Excellence. As Adrian alluded to earlier, one of the uses of proceeds from working capital, as discussed in our raise last year, was to fund an engineering operations center. This new 4,400 square foot facility is located just a few minutes from Duos Jacksonville's headquarters. The center serves two primary functions for us. First, to house our rapidly growing engineering and operations team, and second, to facilitate all our R&D testing, which will help us refine our proprietary intelligent technologies and subsystems and improve our overall deployment capabilities. More specifically, with the new facility, we can now deliver products to our customers with dramatically enhanced speed and quality. To give a concrete example, the assembly of one of our inspection portals used to be done in the field, taking roughly 60 field days to install. We can now pre-assemble and have done so for the CN contract, the same system in our facility, in less than 30 days, and expect to deploy the systems with less than 2 weeks in the field. A dramatic change and improvement over the past. Following the theme of increased efficiency, I'd also like to point out that we completed the construction of this facility under budget and ahead of schedule. In any event, with the new facility completed, we will now be able to meet the demands of larger orders we expect to receive, and the increased bandwidth and firepower will allow us to continue to develop new technologies that will drive greater and more diversified revenue streams. I want to give you a couple of deployment updates. Now, before we turn the call over to questions, I'd like to finish with some brief updates about our core operations, impending deployments, and outlook for the remainder of 2018. First, our deployment with Canadian National, a leading North American Class 1 transportation logistics company, is going as planned, and we are preparing to ship all four systems beginning this week. In fact, I just left the ops facility and our first system was shipped and the truck left. I also want to emphasize that while we believe there to be significant opportunities for expansions with this customer, as well as in broader rail industry, we are entirely focused on making sure that this first order is executed flawlessly before taking next steps. The point of this arrangement with CN is to implement new measures targeted at streamlining maintenance and improving safety, reliability, and overall performance. The systems are based on our proprietary Railcar Inspection Portal, or RIP technology, which is the combination of several proprietary technologies and subsystems. Our RIP system substantially improves the effectiveness of the mechanical inspection of railcars and locomotives through the capture of high-resolution 360-degree imaging while the trains move through our portal at speeds of up to 120 miles per hour. It also incorporates critical security features to help monitor and maintain the structural health of rail cars. The multi-mission deployment was encouraged to announce that we have also expanded the scope of our existing contract with CN to include the management of all civil engineering work. Originally, there was a scope for the rail operator, but we have taken that over. And we are performing on that all four sites. Now moving to our over $3 million contract with one of the nation's largest retail chains, we expect to complete this project on budget within Q3. As Adrian mentioned, thanks to the ongoing success of our operations and business momentum, we are increasing our revenue outlook from our previous guidance of $9.3 million to $10.1 million for 2018. Representing a 160% increase compared to the prior year. Just to clarify, this updated number is based on contracts currently in our backlog that are already performing, as well as pending purchase orders we expect to receive, which are scheduled to be executed between now and the end of this year. While our core technology is ready for prime time, we are continuing the development of new technologies and expanded features to our core systems and applications. Our team is energized, and we expect our sterling performance to continue as we win new business and begin deployments throughout the remainder of the year. Looking ahead, the future is very bright for Duos. We're in a prime position and have the necessary resources to drive substantial expansion both this year and beyond. And with that, we are ready to open the call for your questions. Operator, please provide the appropriate instructions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star followed by one on your telephones now. If you change your mind and decide to withdraw your question, please key star followed by two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. So once again, for any questions, please key star followed by one on your telephones now. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, for any questions, please key star one on your telephones now. We have a first question from the line of Aaron Martin from AIGH Investment. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning, guys. Congratulations on the nice quarter. Can you talk a little bit about what's driving the increase outlook for 2018 and beyond, and tie that into your partnership work with larger companies that can help you sell the programs?
So I think a major factor on the rail sector is that the rail industry at large has finally bought into the fact that technology is something they should embrace. In the past, rail companies have been rather conservative, very much driven by union organizations, and they have been very hesitant to adapt technologies, mainly because as the technology evolves, they become more and more complex. About 2-3 years ago, as you probably remember, operating ratios came under pressure, revenues came under pressure. Of course, it has changed in the past 24 months. And so the rail companies, all of them, have started at some level or another to look for technologies. Now, it has taken time for people to see the operation. As you probably remember, we have two prototypes. We deployed one here for CSX in North Carolina and one in Mexico. And people wanted to see how they performed before they went to the next step. And I believe that we have really put a mark in the market by showing excellent performance of these systems. CN, as an example, is using this four systems as a pilot. Their actual intention is next phase to add artificial intelligence to really drive their improved operating ratios, but their intention is to install these systems all over the Canadian and U.S. operations. Just a side note, CN, very few people know that, but they're the largest rail operator in North America, and quite wealthy. On the logistics side, again, we have prototyped this technology by operating the gate operation. And just to cut through a lot of the details, to give you an example, the average transaction for a truck entering or exiting a distribution center used to be between 6 and 8 minutes. With our new system, it will be less than 3 minutes. So the increased throughput and increased accuracy of all these transactions, according to our customer, leads to an ROI of 1 year. So again, this is embracing technology. A lot of things in American industry has been done this way since 50 years, and people were hesitant to change something. But now I think people understand more and more that technology can be a good thing for organizations to help them in the ROI. So I think the convergence of, on one side, improved technology is becoming available. us providing a very practical solution that's uncomplicated, and on the other side, the demand to improve the bottom line of large customers. Those are the converging factors of our, you know, rapidly growing business. I hope that answered the question.
Sorry, I was on mute. I didn't want the background noise. Can you talk to us about some of the partnerships you have with, you know, perhaps more established players in the spaces you're trying to get to?
So we are working on a number of partnerships. We have really pushed this dialogue to after the summer. We really were not able to both grow the business, the operation, and the work that we have done, and in parallel also push the dialogue with the partners. I can tell you that we have a number of dialogues running in parallel with very large operators. I really would not like to mention the names yet, but companies that will help us globalizing our products. I think for those who have spoken with us in the past, I've always said that we don't want to go global unless we can do that in partnership with somebody who is a multinational global company. And there's a number of activities ongoing right now in that direction. So I think that we will have more clarity on our next call after Q3.
Okay. And then as you look longer term out, as you're starting to branch out, obviously you have the retail solutions, a very big win. You know, how much of your revenue do you think is going to be in the traditional rail versus the other applications? And let's say 2018, and then looking out into the future, which is obviously not as certain.
Yeah, I think that if I were to split our revenue, I would do that in three pieces. The security aspects on the conventional infrastructure systems, such as customers like the oil company, the chemical company, banking, and so forth. That's the traditional security infrastructure, which again, also there we are making improvements to how we handle those processes. The second of three is the distribution centers, the logistics part, and the third is the rail. Now, I would think, depending on what kind of revenue level we're looking at, let's assume next year we will book $15 million. 50% of that is highly likely to be transportation. 30% will be logistics and 20% everything else. If next year, for some reason, we're going to book $20 million, we're going to get closer to having a 40% on logistics and rail, with the other piece being the infrastructure. So it depends what levels of revenue we're going to be able to score. Of course, we are aggressively trying to scale the business, but realistically, we think next year...
Do you have a second customer on the distribution centers yet? Or it's really, at this point, all the one large win that you announced?
Yeah, so we are talking to three additional large customers on the distribution. And again, everybody has been waiting until we can show the fully functioning system of the first customer. There are 9 distribution centers. We should be completed with that deployment by the end of this month. And we are lining up visits to the sites in the last quarter. So we believe that product is going to get quite some tracking.
Okay. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the progress.
Most welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Martin, for your questions. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please key star followed by 1 on your telephone if you'd like to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Jeff Kobylarz from Diamond Bridge Capital. Please proceed. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Congrats on the good results. I was curious if you could comment about your backlog. The last backlog number I saw was in a presentation you put together a while back, and it was $11.3 million. Do you have any general updates you can provide?
So this is Adrian. We're not providing any update right on this call about the backlog. We've been focused mainly this past quarter on the execution, which is we've spoken about before, is extremely important to make sure the execution is flawless. And Gianni covered during the formal comments during the call about the focus on that and shipping and improving our execution on that. We will probably give a further update to the backlog when we get more through Q3 and publish our presentation on that. Safe to say, we've also, as we mentioned on the call, have made and are making investment in our business development side. So between the combination of the execution, demonstration of the ROI to these clients, and then some very highly experienced business development directors, we believe that that backlog will build consistent with the growing business, but we're not prepared to discuss any growth in that this time.
Yeah, maybe one comment that we can make is we have increased our guidance to $10.1 million, and we typically are conservative in guidance, so it's not entirely out of question that we're going to beat that guidance again by a switch, but we hope to give you an update in the third quarter, and if we feel conservatively that's warranted, we will give another update. But suffice it to say that backlog is very robust.
Okay. And the increase in the guidance for this year, is that because more of the backlog is going to be converted into revenue this year, or is it because of the changes in the scope of some of the contracts you mentioned? CN had a change in the scope of the contracts earlier in your comments.
Yeah, we are not increasing the numbers for the civil work into our backlog and or our guidance. We consider that below the line because those are activities that the customer was supposed to execute, and the margin would be much lower. So we are not considering that part of our backlog or new revenue. That's true for both. And so some of the civil work is a passing, as I said. The other question that you had, sorry.
Well, I can make a comment about why the forecast is increasing slightly. As we also mentioned during the formal comments, the implementation of the operations center was a key thing that we spoke about last year when we were on the road, and the fact that we believed it would increase our execution. So obviously certain contracts, particularly the CN contract, are very big, very big deployments. They're complex. And so it is a testament to the fact that the team has pulled up very quickly and the fact that we can deploy faster than perhaps was originally talked about. And so that's one reason for our increasing confidence in the fact.
Yeah, that's certainly true, Adrian. And for those of you who met with us, when we spoke about 2017, one of the major drawbacks was that we weren't able to execute more than what the revenues are. But the answer is yes, we are turning more backlog opportunities into actual contracts. We have about, I would guess, another $1 million between now and the end of the year, new contracts we expect out of the pipeline.
Okay, thanks for explaining that. I'm also curious about the number of FRAA inspection points that your algorithms can evaluate, and I think they're about 70 or over 70, and where do you stand with how many your algorithms can evaluate now, and where do you see it maybe by year end, if you can talk about that?
Jeff, I'm genuinely impressed with your memory. Total FRA targets are about 70, but when you add some of the inspection points require multiple algorithms. For example, if you're looking for wheels, the first algorithm would be to find a region of interest. That's algorithm number one. Algorithm number two would then be to inspect the wheel. Algorithm number three would be to measure. But we have about 12 algorithms completed, and we have another 8 algorithms in beta testing. We are in the process of negotiating a broader deal with our platform partner. We are using a third party to provide us with the machine learning web services platform. Right now, that piece is still very expensive. Once we have negotiated, and those negotiations will happen before the end of this month, are done, and we have, let's say, free range to develop more models without being hindered by too high costs, at that point in time, we will be able to pull out of at least 10 or so algorithms per month.
10 per month, you said.
Yeah. Now, CN, I should mention, is doing a test. They have their own data scientist team, and they have also contracted with the same platform organization as we are using, and they will also be developing some of the models themselves, which is fine. The sooner the index gets to 70, the better it's for everybody.
Okay, good. All right, thanks very much, sir.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for your questions, Mr. Kovilars. At this time, this concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Archiini for his closing remarks. Please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us on today's call. I especially want to thank our employees, partners, investors for their continued support. We hope you buy a lot of stock in the market and pay a lot of money for it. That'll be a happy day for everybody. We look forward to updating you on our next call after Q3. Thanks again, and thanks to my team members.
Thank you, Mr. Archiini. Before we conclude today's call, I would like to provide Duo's Safe Harbor Statement that includes important cautions regarding forward-looking statements made during this call. This earnings call contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking terminology such as believes, expects, may, will, should, anticipates, plans, and their opposites or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. We caution you that these statements are not guarantees of future performance or events and are subject to a number of uncertainties, risks, and other influences, many of which are beyond our control, which may influence the accuracy of the statements and the projections upon which the statements are based, and could cause Duos Technologies Group, Inc. actual results to differ materially from those anticipated by the forward-looking statements. These risks and uncertainties include, but are not limited to, those described in Item 1A in Duos Annual Report on Form 10-K, which is expressly incorporated herein by reference, and other factors as made periodically as described in Duos filings with the SEC. Thank you for joining us today for Duos Technology Group's second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. You may now disconnect.